Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
In last week's episode of this program, we covered in great detail what the Bible does teach about hell. And we proved that what most people believe about hell is just simply not taught in the Bible. However, some will inevitably bring up an account found in Luke chapter 16, and they'll insist that it does prove that evil people, in fact, go to hell when they die. Now, what's found in that chapter is Jesus' account of Lazarus and the rich man. You've probably heard about Lazarus and the rich man, and that passage is probably used more than any other by people trying to prove that there is an ever-burning hellfire that just tortures people forever and ever. Well, let's turn there to Luke 16, and in today's episode, we'll study carefully this account, and let's see clearly what the Bible does say about this. What did Jesus Christ actually say and teach about Lazarus and the rich man, and what was the lesson that he was teaching and intending for us to see? What was the lesson he intended us to get out of this? What exactly did Jesus Christ say? Luke chapter 16, and we'll pick it up here in verse 19. And this is quoting Jesus. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So you've got a very rich and powerful and wealthy and influential man in this world. And then you have someone else, Lazarus, on the other hand, who couldn't have had a lower station in life in this world. And now, look, there's nothing wrong with being rich and wealthy and influential of and by itself. But there was something wrong with this rich man spiritually. And that's what Christ is bringing our attention to. Now notice verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. So eventually both of these men died. And after death, what do we all await? Well, we all await the resurrection. And this is a fact that the Bible teaches clearly, and we've already gone through and proven that in previous episodes of this radio program. But both of these men died, both were buried, and were awaiting the resurrection. Now then, once Lazarus was resurrected, he was taken, it says he was taken into the bosom of Abraham. Now most people say, well, see, this proves that Lazarus went to heaven. But notice, it doesn't say that Lazarus went to heaven. It says that Lazarus was taken into the bosom of Abraham. Now, this is what we mean when we say that people just read their own thoughts and ideas into beliefs, into Bible passages, and it's not necessarily based on what the Bible says, but it's based on what they already believe or what they've already been taught and had in their minds for years and years. So this account so far, we've only read three verses, but this account so far is about two men that died, and then Christ begins to explain what their future will hold. Now, for people who say that this is a literal account of two men and Christ is telling about what had happened to them, well, in John 3 in verse 13, it says, Jesus Christ himself talking, And he says, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. So clearly, this is not talking about Lazarus and Abraham being in heaven. Now, after being resurrected, Lazarus does go to where Abraham is. And where does the Bible say that Abraham will be? Or what did God say about Abraham's future? Did God tell Abraham that his future would be to live forever in heaven? Did God tell Abraham that that heaven would be his inheritance. Now let's just pause right here for a second and turn over to Galatians 3 real quickly. And we'll pick it up in verse 7. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about Abraham. Actually, we'll pick it up in verse 6. And he writes, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know you, therefore, that they who are of faith, the same are the children or the sons of Abraham," as it could read. "And Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen or the Gentiles through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. So then, they who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." See, we all have the same reward, the same future that God offered Abraham if we become converted, if we walk in the same faith of Abraham. Then we have that same incredible future. And we can partake in the same incredible promises that God made to Abraham. And of course, all of that is done through Jesus Christ. Verse 29 of the same chapter says, "If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So through Jesus Christ, and upon conversion, we become spiritual children of Abraham and heirs of the same promises that God made to Abraham. Now that's really what Christ is talking about when he's talking about Lazarus being in the bosom of Abraham. And I'll show you that a little further. But again, for what we're talking about here, what were those promises made to Abraham? And why does Lazarus receive the same promises of Abraham? And what were those promises? Well, in Genesis 12, we won't go and look at all of these verses, but you can look it up yourself. In Genesis 12, verses 5 through 7, the land of Canaan was given to Abraham and his seed as an inheritance. And then in chapter 13 and verse 15, God promises to Abraham and his seed that this inheritance would last forever. So it does include eternal life and an eternal inheritance. Hebrews 9 and verse 15 even reiterates that for us. If you want to jot that down, you can go to Hebrews 9 and verse 15 and see that. Now, going forward in Genesis 15 and verse 18, God then expands the boundaries of Abraham's inheritance and the inheritance of his spiritual descendants, as we're reading about here in Galatians 3. And God expands Abraham's inheritance to include everything between the Nile River and the river Euphrates. God expands it out beyond just what Abraham could see in the land of Canaan. Now it goes beyond what he could see, all the way between the Nile River and the river Euphrates. Now then, ultimately, God expands it even further. Romans 4 and verse 13, in Romans 4 and verse 13, God reveals through the Apostle Paul that he has actually expanded Abraham's inheritance to include the entire world. The entire world is Abraham's inheritance. So you see, you if you're going to have a future, you must become a spiritual child of Abraham. That's the point. And you do that through Jesus Christ, as Galatians 3 shows. It's a matter of conversion. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of obedience. Those are the same qualities that God loved so much about Abraham, and it does include eternal life and an eternal inheritance. But as those verses that we just read, or that I just referenced in Genesis and in Romans 4, as those verses show, that inheritance is not, it is not heaven. It is this earth. It's land here on this earth. And ultimately, God expanded that to include the entire world. So again, take note of the fact that there is no promise anywhere in the Bible that any man would ascend to heaven, and there's no promise that Abraham would, that his inheritance would be heaven. There's no promise that Lazarus or Abraham would ascend to heaven, and that's because heaven is not the reward of the saved. And Lazarus has not yet received those promises mentioned by Christ in Luke 16. Neither has Abraham received those promises. Now, how do we know that? Well, because the Bible clearly tells us. If you're listening at home and you have your Bible, go ahead and turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll see that. Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 8, we'll begin there. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went. And by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, dwelling in tents or booths, temporary dwellings, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." See, they were heirs of the same promise, the same promises that God had made to Abraham. And we've just went through and seen what those promises were. And they're all promises of inheritance on the earth, but they are promises that include eternal life, and the inheritance itself is eternal. And Abraham had those promises made to him. Isaac and Jacob were heirs of those same promises. And as Galatians 3 says, any of us who become children of Abraham by conversion through Jesus Christ, then we also are heirs of those very same promises. That's why Lazarus went to the bosom of Abraham. Verse 10 says, "For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God." So, look, Abraham does have a great inheritance awaiting him upon his resurrection. It's an eternal inheritance. It does include the entire earth and New Jerusalem, as verse 10 here is talking about. And New Jerusalem, by the way, is going to be brought down here to this earth. It will be here on the earth, not in heaven. Revelation 21 clearly shows us that. But again, Abraham hasn't inherited this yet, neither has Lazarus. How do we know? Verse 13, "These all died in faith," including Abraham. Abraham died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them. You see, these all died, including Abraham, in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and they were persuaded of them and embraced them. And again, remember, if you're converted, then through Christ, you become a child of Abraham, and you become an heir according to the same promises. Galatians 3 clearly tells us that. We just turned there and read it. "And the righteous will receive these promises at the first resurrection." Again, we've covered that in previous episodes. You can go back and listen to those episodes at kpcg.fm and pull up all of the past episodes and listen to those on demand. And all of that can easily be proven in scriptures like Revelation 20, 1 Thessalonians 4, and elsewhere. But until that time of the resurrection, the dead are in their graves. They have no consciousness. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5 says that the dead know nothing. They don't know anything at this time, and they're awaiting the resurrection.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3, KPCG, online or live stream, kpcg.fm. This is Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis. We'll be right back for the second half of the program in just a minute. Just want to take a quick moment to offer a free Bible correspondence course to you. It's a great program. It's called the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. It's a free Bible correspondence course. You can sign up for it at thetrumpet.com, and it takes you through your own Bible and answers many questions that you have. It opens up your understanding to a lot of different Bible topics. And certainly there's a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of confusion when it comes to the Bible and the subjects and topics that are discussed there. Make sure you go and look at it for yourself. This correspondence course will take you to the scriptures. You can look at the doctrines. You can look at the truths that are being proved in this correspondence course. It's free. Sign up for it today at thetrumpet.com, the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course.
This is Live by Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Welcome back, everyone. Let's go back to Luke 16 here to begin the second half of the program. You know, we laid the foundation that is really vital and necessary to be able to understand this. We laid that foundation in the first half of the program. Now let's go back to Luke 16. And we'll pick up the story here again in verse 22, where we left off before. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So Lazarus died eventually, and at the first resurrection, he was resurrected, and he's carried into Abraham's bosom, because Abraham also is resurrected at the first resurrection. And this is talking about a very close, intimate family relationship that Lazarus enters into with Abraham. The word bosom means the breast of a human being. One definition that Webster's gives is the security and intimacy of, or like that of, being hugged to someone's bosom. Now, of course, this is talking about a very loving, close family relationship that Lazarus enters into with Abraham, and they'll be enjoying this kind of a relationship. They will be family at the resurrection. And again, you have to have Galatians 3 there to understand all of this about the righteous becoming spiritual children of Abraham and heirs with him according to the promises that God made to him. And we looked at what those promises were that God made to Abraham, and they do not include heaven. They don't include Abraham going to heaven. So Lazarus being in Abraham's bosom is talking about an extremely close family relationship, spiritually speaking, and the righteous converted people, once resurrected, will be in very close contact with Abraham and sharing the same promises that God made to him. Now, again, that's not my interpretation. We have to let the Bible interpret itself, and clearly that's what the Bible teaches. And if you don't understand some of that, then go back and listen to the previous episodes, and you'll see what the Bible does teach about hell and about the resurrections and about going to heaven and those sorts of things. Now, going on, verse 23, it says, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes." This is talking about the rich man. In hell he lifted up his eyes. Now, people read into that and they just think, oh, well, see, he's in hell, he's flouncing, he's burning, he's in torment, and he lifts up his eyes and he looks up to heaven and he sees Abraham and Lazarus. They think that sincerely and they believe that because that's the preconceived ideas that they already have in their minds. But again, if you haven't listened to the previous episode about hell, and the words, the original words that have been translated into the English word hell, you really need to go back and do that. The word here, in verse 23, the English word hell has been translated from the Greek word Hades. And Hades simply means grave. It has no connection to a fire whatsoever. It is in the grave that this is talking about. When a person dies, this is where they go, to Hades, to the grave. Acts 2 and verse 31, if you want to look it up, you can see Jesus Christ himself even went to hell. He even went to Hades, which is the word being used, or that is translated from here in verse 23 of Luke 16. Acts 2 and verse 31 says that Jesus Christ was not left in hell. Go and look it up yourself and see. Get rid of the preconceived ideas and learn what every word of God actually does say and teach. Now then, when you understand that word Hades, it just simply says the rich man died and was buried, and in the grave he lifts up his eyes. He lifted up his eyes from the grave. And this, of course, is at the time of the resurrection, still in the future. Notice Jesus Christ didn't say when the rich man would lift up his eyes from the grave. It just says he died, he was buried, and then from the grave he lifts up his eyes at some point in the future. He didn't say how long the passage of time would be between those events. The rich man wouldn't be aware of the passage of time while he was in the grave. And other scriptures tell us the answers to those questions. Again, remember, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5 says, "The dead know not anything." And speaking of Abraham, by the way, Isaiah 63 and verse 16 even states specifically that at this time, Abraham is ignorant of us. So obviously, this is not something that happened during Christ's time or something that has happened at any time in between. You have to look at the Bible and see, well, when is Abraham not going to be ignorant anymore? Well, it's when he's resurrected. And the Bible tells us when that's going to happen. And Abraham is ignorant of us right now. So is the rich man. So is Lazarus. Because the dead know not anything, as Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5 says. And even that includes Abraham, as Isaiah 63 and verse 16 shows. When someone is dead, they're in the graves, they know nothing. Obviously, here Christ is talking about a time in the future when Abraham will have been resurrected. That's the first resurrection. Lazarus would have been resurrected at that time. Now then, we're getting to the time where this rich man is resurrected, and he had rejected God's way, and he'll be resurrected, yes, but that's over 1,000 years later, after Abraham and Lazarus would have been resurrected. And to him, however, it seems immediate. It seems like the very next waking moment, he goes to sleep, he dies, he's in the grave, and the next thing he knows, he's awake. Now, no matter how many thousands of years it's been, it just seems like the next waking moment to him. And this is, of course, because he's dead and he's ignorant of what's happening on earth, and he knew nothing. Now, here in verse 23, the rich man, again, is being resurrected. This is the third resurrection, as we've covered before. This is the time period of the lake of fire, which it will begin burning at the time of Jesus Christ's second coming, and it continues burning throughout the entire millennial age, culminating with the entire surface of the earth burning up. 2 Peter 3 discusses this fact. Revelation 20 discusses this. We've covered it in previous programs. If you missed those, go back and listen to it. But this is the time period and the situation that the rich man finds himself in at the moment of his resurrection. And when he's resurrected and realizes that condition, he is in great torment in his mind. He is being tormented. It's mental torment. Remember, this man had rejected God. He had an opportunity to know God, and he knew what this lake of fire meant for him. And when he wakes up from death in the grave, he sees Abraham and Lazarus, and of course that shows Abraham and Lazarus had already been resurrected, and he's in torment because he knows what his future holds, what his immediate future holds. Let me just read you one other verse, just a couple of pages back, Luke chapter 13, just to show you the consistency here of everything that we're talking about. Luke chapter 13 and verse 27. Now here Christ is talking to some very evil men who were rejecting him. In verse 27 he says, But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not from where you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. So this is talking about people who will be in that third resurrection. And notice what they'll see just before they are engulfed in the lake of fire. Verse 28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Now that's what Christ said would happen to those who find themselves in this third resurrection awaiting the second death. And that's the condition being described here in Luke 16 for the rich man. He wakes up, he lifts up his eyes from the grave, and he's in torment because he sees Abraham, he sees Lazarus, he sees Isaac and Jacob, he sees the prophets, and he knows that that he's not in the same condition that they're in. Now, going on here, he lifted up his eyes back at Luke 16, verse 23, in the grave, he lifted up his eyes, and being in torment, and that's mental torment because he knows the circumstances here, not because he's on fire burning, but because he understands what's about to happen. And he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, a lot of people read that and they say, well, see, he's in this flame and he's being tortured and tormented, burning, and he wants Lazarus to come and bring a little bit of water on the tip of his finger and put it in his tongue. Now, think about that. Does that even make any sense? Now, again, at this point, he is awake. He is physical. He's on the earth. He's been resurrected. And this lake of fire has already begun burning at Christ's return. And now it's expanding and it's about to engulf the entire earth. And it will not be quenched. Now, this rich man is in mental anguish, seeing these flames getting closer and closer. Imagine being on a spot of land and fire all around you, and it's coming closer and closer to you. Well, that's kind of the circumstances that this rich man finds himself in. And because of that, he knows that these flames are getting closer. He knows that he's being surrounded, and soon they're going to destroy him forever. And that's why he asked for a little water for his tongue, because he's thirsty from mental torment. His mouth is dry. He's nervous, just like you would be, or just like I would be. His mouth has become completely dry from mental anguish. Wouldn't yours? Now think, if he was in the midst of some hot lava pit and his body was flouncing in pain, why would he ask for a little water for his tongue? Wouldn't he be asking to just be doused with buckets and buckets of water, or fire engine hoses shooting water on him? Now look, we don't mean to offend anyone, and I know that what I'm saying is very different from what most people believe about these verses. And I know that it's very different from what most people have been taught. But if you free your mind from those preconceived ideas, and if you let the Bible interpret itself, you'll see that what I'm telling you is the truth. Remember, Isaiah 28 says that you must take line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And you can't understand this if you don't understand what the Bible teaches about hell and about the resurrections and about heaven. And again, go back and listen to those previous episodes if you missed those, and you can understand more clearly what we're talking about. Again, remember, the rich man is terrified because he's about to be engulfed in this fire. But does this mean that he's going to flounce in agony for all of eternity? Of course not. Absolutely not. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6 verse 23 says. It is not, the wages of sin is not eternal life in torture. This is not about someone burning eternally, but it is about someone being eternally burned up. So it is serious. It is the second death. And then if you look at verse 27, he asks that Abraham would send someone back, send Lazarus back to save his family and to warn his family. And of course, Abraham says no, because they already have the writings of Moses and the writings of the other prophets, and they should be listening to that. Now you think about what Abraham's answer is here and what the lesson is that Jesus Christ is teaching. In this account, the rich man knew that Lazarus had been resurrected from the dead. Very few understand that truth about the resurrections. The rich man also knows that his brothers would not listen to Moses and the prophets, the writers of the Bible. That's quite a warning. That's really quite a warning. How many people today reject the teachings and the writings of Moses and the prophets, the writers of the Bible? And Jesus Christ is explaining that if we refuse to hear the prophets, including Moses, we have no hope of salvation. Verse 31 says that. So we have to accept and believe and live by every word of God. Live by the entire Bible. Every word of it, not just the New Testament. So the account here in Luke 16 does not teach that God will put the wicked through eternal punishing in hell. Instead, Jesus is clearly teaching about the resurrection from the dead of both the righteous and the wicked. It's about a resurrection to eternal life or a resurrection to die an eternal death. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.